Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 114. You know, Psalm 113 through 118 are used even by the Jews to this day to read on Passover to remember the great Passover from, you know, their earlier history. And it's a great thing to remember so that they can pass on faith to their children and see the incredible things God has done. They were supposed to commemorate that every year. And I'd like to take us back there for a moment, but let's begin with the first verse here, actually three. When Israel went out from Egypt, so this is when they were leaving Egypt in the Passover, the house of Jacob from a people of strange tongue, that's the Egyptians, or a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. At that time they were, of course, one. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back. And remember, they went through on dry ground, and God parted the sea so that they could go through on dry ground. And then later on, he dried up the Jordan River when they went into the Promised Land. So you get a mention there of both times God did that in their history, when God first had them flee out of Egypt and then go from the desert into the Promised Land. And this recalls the time of the great Passover. I want us to remember that because it's such an important grand event. And you might recall that God was going to Pharaoh through Moses and saying, "Hey, Pharaoh of Egypt, let my people go." And he hardened his heart, and God hardened his heart at times, and he would not let God's people go. And there were a series of 9 plagues, whether it be the locusts or the frogs or the Nile turning to blood and all these different things to try to convince Pharaoh that he needed to listen to Moses and to God and let the Israelites go so that they could be free and be a nation and be the people that God's called them to be. But his heart kept being hardened and he wouldn't let them go. So God said, "I'm going to do the 10th and final plague." And this 10th and final plague, he told the Israelites what he was going to do ahead of time, that he was going to kill all the firstborn males and cattle in Egypt. And Israel would have even been killed by this destructive plague too if God wouldn't have told them ahead of time about it. But he did, because he wanted to spare his people. And he said, "Well, this is the way that you can be spared, and that you will know that you will be spared, and that I will know that you are my people, is I want you to take a lamb, an unblemished lamb. I want you to sacrifice that lamb. I want you to eat that lamb that evening as a commemorative meal, and I want you to take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost of your home. And when my spirit comes over Egypt to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, I will see every home that has the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, and everyone in those homes will be spared. But anyone who doesn't have these instructions of me saving you by the blood of the lamb, their firstborn will die." And sure enough, that night, God's spirit came over Egypt, just as he said, a spirit of destruction. And Pharaoh had a son. Of course, they didn't have the blood of the lamb over their home, and his son died. And as a result of that, Pharaoh finally, in this 10th plague, which he should have did a long time ago, but he didn't, he said, "Go, leave." And this is what God's people did then. They began to leave Egypt and flee. Now, one of the things that God did, really interestingly, is when this happened, he made it very clear that I want you to do this in your future forever. Listen to what it says in Exodus 12:24. "And you shall keep this event as a statute for you and your children forever. And it will be that when you enter the land which Yahweh will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this new slavery. And it will be when your children say to you, 'What is the meaning of this?' that you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but delivered our homes.'" So he said, "I want you to remember this forever." And a little bit later in that same chapter, it says, "And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, 'This is a statute,'" this is verse 43 of chapter 12, "'This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every man, slave, purchased with money, and after you have him circumcised, then he may eat of it. A foreign resident or a hired person shall not eat of it, but it shall be eaten in a single house. You shall not bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break any of the bone of it. All the congregation of Israel shall celebrate this. But if a sojourner sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and let him come near to celebrate it, and it shall be like a native of the land." So I want you to see that this was not for a non-Jew follower of Israel to do this. But if there was a foreigner who wanted to follow Yahweh, then they could participate. But the most important thing that I wanted you to see in this is that it should be in a single house, and you shall not break any bone of it. So when they were to partake of this Passover lamb and put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost, they were to cook this lamb whole and not break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. What is incredible about that, and most of you, if you've been listening from the beginning, know this, but maybe some of you have picked up late, and you know, if you wanted to go back and search Passover and Revering the Word in the podcast, like search the word Passover, all my teachings on the Passover will come up, and you'll see this in even greater detail. But what's incredible, and I want everyone to know this, this is remarkable. Passover was one special day a year. It ended up becoming a seven-day feast, but it began on Passover, one day a year. And when Jesus Christ came and lived his life, when they took his life, they took his life on Passover. On that one special day, only that day. And that, you know, there's 365 days in a year. And Jesus died on that day. The day that the Passover lamb saved them back in the Old Testament is the day that God sacrificed his son to forgive us. He did it on that day. There's only less than 1/3 of 1% chance that Jesus would die on that day, and that's the day he died. And he's called Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Now think about that. The day God saved them by the blood of the Lamb many years ago is now how God saved us in the same means, through a sacrifice of a lamb, but this being an unblemished lamb instead of an unblemished real lamb. He sent his only begotten unblemished son to take on the sins of the whole world. Now, not only that, but when Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves on his left and his right. And it was a Friday, but at sunset it was going to be Saturday, and they wanted to take the bodies off the crosses before sunset, because at sunset that's when a Jew's day changed to the next day. It didn't change at midnight like our day. So that would have meant that it would be a Sabbath at sunset Friday night. It would go to Saturday at sunset, and then it would be a Saturday Sabbath, and they wouldn't want to have to manage all the bodies on a Sabbath, so they wanted everyone to die on Friday, Good Friday, by the way, which was Passover. And what they did is they said, well, we're going to break the bones of the legs of the people on the cross, because that'll make them die quicker of asphyxiation. They won't be able to hold themselves up, and they'll die quicker, and that way we can get their bodies off the cross. But Jesus gave up his own life on the cross. He said, it is finished, meaning he accomplished what God sent him forth to do, to die on the cross. So he bowed his head and said, it is finished, and he died. So when they went to break the bones of the legs of the thieves, they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, and they didn't see it necessary to break the bones of his legs, but they needed to ensure that he was dead. So they took a spear and they pierced him in the side. By the way, it said that Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions in Isaiah 53 and in Psalm 22. So there was prophetic writings that happened much earlier that said that Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions. Well, they didn't break his bones. And isn't it remarkable? They broke the two thieves' bones. They didn't break Jesus' bones. Why? Because he's the Passover lamb. They didn't know this, but God orchestrated that it would happen in this way, because in Exodus 12:46, you shall not break any bone of it. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. He died on Passover. His bones weren't broken, just as was spoken. He was pierced, just as the Bible said in many occasions that he would be pierced for our transgressions. God brought his word together in an incredible way. Jesus is our Passover lamb, and if you want to be forgiven of your sin, you got to trust in him. You got to trust in the one who died on Passover to forgive you, whose bones were not broken, who was pierced, and then ultimately who was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way that we have forgiveness of sins, and this all happened on Passover. In fact, the earlier evening, Thursday evening after sunset, they got together, him and his disciples, to celebrate Passover. Jesus did. And then that night, he was arrested early in the night, or in the middle of the night. And then on Friday, Good Friday, before the day changed to, you know, the Saturday Sabbath, Jesus was killed. It all happened on Passover. Isn't that remarkable? Well, then after this, back in Moses' day now, Pharaoh let people go and they fleed, but as they were fleeing, Pharaoh changed his mind and he wanted to recapture the Israelites. And I'll pick that up in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 10. Listen to this. Now Pharaoh drew near, and the sons of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very afraid. Well, they're about to be recaptured, maybe killed. So the sons of Israel cried out to Yahweh. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why is this you have done against us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that may we serve the Egyptians? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians.' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness." So they're already lacking faith. Well, there's an army chasing after them. I could see why they'd be afraid. But listen to what is said here. Great leadership. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." Hallelujah. Yahweh will fight for you, and you will keep silent. Yahweh's going to take care of this. God's going to take care of this. He did not have you escape Egypt to not set you free. All you got to do is keep quiet and see what God will do. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Speak to the sons of Israel so that they go forward. As for you, raise up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and split it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Harden the hearts of Egyptians will strengthen so that they will go in after them, and I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, through the chariots and the horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh, and I am glorified through the Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen," because they're going to chase after, and then God's going to close the sea on them. "Then the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave a light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night." God kind of put that in there so that the Egyptians would be afraid to not attack them before this happened. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea into dry ground, so the waters were split. So the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left." Incredible. "Then the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them in the midst of the sea. Then at morning watch, Yahweh looked down on the camp of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the camp of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them against the Egyptians.' Then Yahweh said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen.' So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then Yahweh saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore." What an incredible event. God, all of this is known as Passover, and what God remarkably did to save his people and destroy the Egyptians who had placed them all those years in slavery. It's a day to be commemorated forever. And now we commemorate that day and remember that day through Good Friday. This is Good Friday. And we should be remembering on Good Friday not just the fact that Jesus had the Last Supper and then ended up dying on that day. And we should remember that. Hallelujah. But we should also remember all that God has done throughout history and how he tied Old and New Testaments together through the blood of the Lamb. It's quite incredible. And you know what? When you see that God did all that on one special day, it'll make you believe. When you see all the prophetic things that were said many thousand plus years earlier, and then came true in Jesus. Read Psalm 22. They put holes in his hands and his feet. They pierced his side. Read Isaiah 53. Know that it all happened on Passover. Read, you know, Exodus 12:46, that they didn't break his bones. And sure enough, Jesus' bones weren't broken. Look, you know, back in, I believe it's John 19, to read about all this in the New Testament to see how it all came true. And you know what? Knowledge will lead to faith the more you know. And there's so much evidence to believe, and it's just, I just wish everyone knew. And, you know, I wrote about this extensively in my book, Altered. My book, Altered, reveals all this evidence and so much more, and I encourage everyone to get a copy and read that book. You can order one at reveringtheword.com, reveringtheword.com. I would encourage you to read my book, Altered. I tell you what, if you read that book, you'll see such grand evidence as to why you can trust in Jesus, why you can trust in the Bible, and why you can trust that if you believe in him, you will be saved, and one day you'll be with him in heaven. Please do read that book, because it summarizes all these events in a powerful way. Well, that's what we're taking in here in Psalm 114, only 8 verses. Listen to what it says. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked back and fled. And that's what we just read about. The Jordan turned back. That was later when they crossed from the desert into the promised land. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What disturbs you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills like lambs? Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. And you know, briefly, after they got out of the sea and now they're in the desert, they were thirsty and they were complaining to Moses about needing water. And Moses is like, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, go over to this rock and tap this rock, and out of this rock will flow water. And that's what God did through Moses right in front of the people. And he brought them water out of a rock, because God provided these for these people. And while they were in the desert, he had manna and quail come down from the sky. And God provided for them for a period of 40 years until they entered the promised land. Miracle after miracle, God is good. God can be trusted. And I hope and pray that you will place your trust in Jesus. You got to say to him, Jesus, I believe you existed. I believe you came to earth to reveal yourself and to reveal who God was, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you died on that cross, that you were raised from the dead, that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I place my trust in you. I give my faith to you, God. And I help me now to live for you. And thank you, God, for forgiveness through the cross. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers true believers to live for you. And Lord, I look forward to one day being with you in heaven. Replay that. Say a prayer like that to Jesus, and then begin to live with him. Stick with learning the Word of God. Find a good Bible-believing church. Follow him for your life. Know that you may not be sinless, but you will sin less, and God will forgive you. Hallelujah, because that's what he does through the cross. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.